So yeah, so I mean, that gives you an insight into one aspect of the whole area, the mobile communications and technology side of it. Next, we're going to hand across to Tim Copeland, who is local from Wellington. Now, Tim set up his own business pretty much straight from school, college. Yeah, straight out there. Good. A bit like me. And he founded a company called Silverstripe. So it's basically, it's a content management system, which has also been released as an open source code base. So if any of you understand about the open source movement, Tim has joined it. I will hail to you for that. Basically, was CEO of Silverstripe until 6 months ago. And now he's focusing on working at a strategic level, developing new business, and is also chairman of Wellington's largest ICT network and the youngest person ever admitted onto Victoria University's MBA program. So here we go. Over to Tim.
Thanks. So just going to bear with me for a moment while I try and work out how to get my laptop working. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. First of all, can I just get a quick show of hands as to who is in sort of seventh form this year? Cool. Okay. And sixth form? And sort of fifth form below? Cool. Okay. So about 8 years ago or so, I was just finishing high school. And like many of you in seventh form and possibly some of you in sixth form, you're sort of contemplating as to what you're actually going to be doing with the rest of your life. And there's a couple of options very broadly. One is sort of going off to university. The other is just going out and actually working in the industry. And there's the other option, which isn't really sort of talked about much, which is actually getting to business. And I'm just going to take you through the last 8 years, I suppose, of my career or what I've been doing in the technology industry, and just give you my perspective on how it's all panned out. Just a quick bit on me as well. Like, I was one of the original founders of Silverstripe. I was joined by two other partners quite early on, after the first of 6 months or so. Two of them actually from Wellington College here. Chairman of Unlimited Potential, which is the largest IT network in Wellington at the moment. We've got about 1,000 members or so. And I've worked with a number of startup businesses. And next year, I'm actually going to finish my MBA, which I started about 5 years ago as well. So, cool. So, back in 2000, it was the middle of the dot-com, or sort of just before the dot-com bubble burst, there was an article written in Wired magazine called Gen Equity. And it's something that really inspired me, I suppose, as to what the possibilities are. And I'm just going to read a short extract from that article. This was in the context of Silicon Valley, although I think it's equally as applicable now as it was in the dot-com boom and also in Wellington as Silicon Valley. So by plane, they come. They're just showing up. They're giving up their lives elsewhere to come here. They come for the tremendous opportunity, believing that in no other place in the world right now can one person accomplish so much with talent, initiative, and a good idea. It's a region where who you know and how much money you have has never been less relevant to success. They come because it doesn't matter whether they're young or have left college without a degree or speak with an accent. They come even if it's illegal to come. They come because they feel they'll regret it for the rest of their lives if they don't at least give it a try. They come to be part of history, to build the technology that will reshape how people will live 5 or 10 years from now. They come for the excitement, just to be part of it. They come to make money, to score big. They come to make enough money that they will never have to think about money again. They come too because what they see ahead of them, if they stay behind instead, is a working life that seems fundamentally and unavoidably boring. Nothing seems worse than the fate of boringness. They keep finding themselves saying, "What the hell am I doing with my life?" Every generation before this one has had to make a choice between pursuing a steady career and pursuing wild adventures. In Silicon Valley, and Wellington right now actually, that trade-off has been rectified, injecting mind-boggling amounts of risk into the once studied domain of grey-suited business. Young people no longer have to choose. They've turned life into a two-for-one deal. The career path is a rollercoaster adventure. Working has become nothing less than a sport. Here in super achievement land, people are motivated by the thrill of the competition and the danger of losing. And every year, the rules evolve to make it happen quicker on higher margins to reach more amazing sums. It's a mad, fertile time. Let's up the beat, they're saying. Let's make it exciting. Let's put it all on black. Let them roll. So that was 8 years ago. And I was reading that and trying to contemplate what I wanted to do. I just finished seventh form. I just managed to scrape through and actually finish bursary. And I was looking at either going to do a full-time job, because I'd got an internship at another web development company, going to university, or starting up my own company. And I had a lot of pressure from my parents to go to university, as I'm sure a lot of you will do. And I really enjoyed the job that I was in at the moment, but I didn't know quite where that was going. And then I also had the idea of just starting up a company. And what I really wanted to do, and I knew that there's so much talent between people my age and your age now at that time, I wanted to sort of get us all together and sort of build a company out of it. So I had a crack at that, and we had about sort of, 7 or 8 of us from a number of schools in Wellington. We actually got together and decided we're going to form a company. And I went up to my bosses at the company I was working at the time and said, hey, I've got all these really smart people who just know the web a hell of a lot better than a lot of they did. A lot of people I was working with actually said, we're going to get together, we just want you to give us a bit of money to get us up and running, and we'll work for you basically, and we'll just build this awesome company. And I'd been talking to the CEO of this organisation, and he was like, yeah, right on, this is absolutely fantastic, go for it. And so I had all the support, and then we had the day basically to sign the contracts to put this whole thing in motion. So we all got dressed up in our parents' suits, which didn't fit us at all, and we went up to the office. It was on a Saturday, and we all waited outside the office to have this big meeting to sign off this big deal. And he never turned up. And I was pretty perplexed by that. I sort of gave him a call and said, hey, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's my wife's birthday. Sorry, I forgot about it. I thought, well, fair enough, it's my wife's birthday, but you could have told me. So anyway, I was then feeling a bit annoyed, and went and talked to one of the other directors of the company and said, hey, this deal which we're just about to sign. And he's like, what? And he had no idea what I was talking about. So the whole thing was, the person I'd been talking to, the CEO, he hadn't actually sort of talked about this fantastic idea of mine with anyone else. So the whole deal was off, and probably never was actually going to happen in the first place. So that was my first attempt at starting a company. So then I went on to university and I started doing sort of computer science. But then about 3 months after sort of starting that, I then got tired of that and decided, right, I need to have another crack at setting up a company. So I set up a company which at that time was actually called Totally Digital Silverstripe. We renamed it to Silverstripe several years later. And I set up the company, and it was only myself, and then I met sort of two other people my age at a party, actually. It's like, hey, I've just set up this cool, crazy web company thing, and they're like, oh, yay, we do web stuff and computer stuff as well. And didn't really know them even, actually. It was a pure chance that they're actually quite good. So interesting that they sort of knew each other because they'd been sort of doing a whole lot of hacking, actually, when they were younger and gone to quite a bit of trouble doing that as well, actually. But so they became the two partners in the business, and the company kicked off. So after our first couple of months, we got two clients on board, and we actually grew the company reasonably quickly. We went from the sort of me basically and sort of year dot to about 7 people within about 8 months, and they're all young people as well. So most of us were sort of first year, second year university students at that stage. And it was really, really quite cool, just growing so quickly. And we made a hell of a lot of money at the time as well. It was absolutely fantastic. In retrospect, we probably actually didn't make that much money, but it felt like we were making a hell of a lot of money because, when you're sort of earning $7 an hour at the checkout, which I did previously. That was one of my first jobs at a supermarket. I only lasted about 5 hours before I quit, but... But anyway, we're earning about sort of $30-$40 an hour. It's absolutely fantastic. And of course, at the time, I didn't realise that I had to pay taxes as well. So the whole year was just an absolute blast. And So somehow I meant to spend all my money on sort of alcohol and various other bits and pieces that I probably shouldn't have. But anyway, great time. And we had a couple of newspaper articles written about us at the time. And one of the headings was 3 p.m. start and 3 a.m. finish. And that was because we'd basically sort of turn up at work at just after lunch, and sort of muck around for a few hours, and then we'd start work about sort of 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we'd go really go hard and sort of work for about good 12 hours, and go to bed about sort of 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and we did this for about sort of 2 years, like that sort of cycle. And it's one thing which you probably won't really appreciate now, but when you look back, is that you can actually get away with doing that when you're younger. It's like you can't actually sort of handle it particularly well as you get older. It sucks. So you can actually go hard and do that. The other big problem we had then, though, was the dot-com bubble burst, and being able to get away with running a business with sort of really no money, no experience, no real skills was no longer particularly viable. So we had to sort of rethink what we're going to be doing. So 2002 rolled along, and then we realised that we actually had to pay tax, and bubble had burst as well. So we're left with absolutely no money at all. It's a horrible, horrible period. I remember, I was paying all my staff, and I remember my personal bank balance just had absolutely nothing in it. Like, I never had absolutely nothing in it, but it had absolutely nothing in it. And, we sort of started cutting back on our expenses, so we'd, bought sort of sandwiches and toast and things, and we bought that to lunch and made, and we had this great idea of making noodles as well. Like, you went down to the Asian supermarket and you can buy like these huge packs of noodles which cost about 30 cents a packet, and that basically fed the staff for about 2 months for lunch. I hate noodles now, but anyway. And so I've got to the point, I remember looking at my bank balance and I just had absolutely no money. And I remember having to go and ask some of my clients if I could borrow like a few dollars so I could go and buy myself some food for lunch, because I had absolutely nothing. And so compounding all this as well, we had one of our clients who owed us quite a bit of money. They owed us about $30,000 or so for some work we'd been doing. And getting payment of that would have basically resolved a lot of the problems that we had. And But they hadn't been paying us. So we were just about to go into sort of, take them to court effectively to try and get this money out of them. And they eventually sort of stumped up with this check for sort of $30,000. And what happened? Yes, so they did that, and we sort of got the check, and we're all happy again. Then I sort of read in the paper, probably about 2 months later, that the technology that we'd developed for them, and we'd charged them $30,000 for it, they'd licensed the software for over $1 million to a sort of Philippine country. It's like, so then I thought, right, there's got to be a better way to actually start earning some real money now. And we decided, the way to go about it, instead of developing or doing a whole lot of services for ourselves, we'd have to start developing product. And the next product we started developing was some ADSL technology. So this was, there's a server appliance. Do you guys remember server appliances at all? No, wouldn't have thought so. They were one of the things which were going to sort of change the world about six years ago or so, and they never really did. But the basic idea was that you got this box, you plugged it in, and that was the server for your entire company, and it was very sort of simple, easy-to-use stuff. And there's this company called Cobalt, which is out of Silicon Valley, and they were developing these really cool sort of server appliances. And they then got acquired by Sun. And at the meantime, and one of the things that we were trying to do is we developed like this ADSL card, which then went inside the server. And the idea was that you plug the server and you plug your ADSL connection, and then you've got an entire sort of server with internet connection working. It was fantastic stuff. And we were on the verge of we set up a new company and we tried to sell it in New Zealand. And the sales in New Zealand were appalling. I think we sold maybe 2 or 3 units of it. But aside from that, we then got this big licensing deal with a pretty significant telco overseas. And they were about to buy all our IP off us. And so I remember sort of sitting down with my friends, the founders at the time, and we were working out, we're sort of 22, 23. We're going to have sort of $5-10 million each by the time this deal goes through, and we were really looking forward to it. And we thought, I remember sort of sitting down having this conversation, what the hell are we going to do with all this money? What's the responsible thing to do? Like, how much are we going to give to our family, and how much do we need to give to our friends? And it was really sort of worrious at this stage, like, what we're going to do with all this money when we came into it. And of course, the money never came. And the reason why is that Sun, who we'd developed this whole ASL package for, they actually cancelled the entire server line, discontinued the entire product, probably about a week before we meant to sign this deal. So it was a complete disaster. So that was the second big deal that we lost out on. We then moved into, it still kept on going. We went into a business incubator in Wellington called Creative HQ. And that the idea behind business incubators are is that there's a lot of some bright people basically who've got technical skills but don't really know how to run a business. And at that stage, we had no idea really how to run a business. Like we'd had a shot at getting some pretty good money through luck more than anything else. And we decided we actually needed to build a real business. So we scaled the team back, which was sort of seven at that point, again, down to the core three people. And we started developing this product called a content management system, which is basically sort of like WordPress, Drupal, Joomla, that type of system. And at the time, it was really quite innovative. Like nobody knew of it. And I think in the States, they were sort of selling similar things to what we were doing for around $500,000, and we were trying to sell it for about $1,500. And it was absolutely fantastic software. But of course, we didn't know who else was doing it, though. We worked really hard. And one of the things at Creative HQ, which is really good, is that there was a number of other companies. There was probably about another half a dozen companies in the sort of startup phase, and they worked as hard as we did. So we're easily working sort of 14-hour days, sort of 7 days a week. I remember sort of going into the office like on Christmas Day, and like half of the office was there just working. And I worked it out at one stage that, and that year as well, we made about $15,000, like, personally. And I worked it out that was about $3.50 an hour, and I would have been better off on the unemployment benefit for that year. So the money wasn't good, but that's it's one of the things that keeps you going, but it's not the be-all and end-all. But we came across a number of mentors as well who gave us advice on how to actually start running the business. And so we spent a year developing the product, and... the product was going quite well. We were trying to get sales, and we were trying to work out how to actually run the business. With university as well, like I still was actually enrolled in university, although I wasn't really attending anything by that stage. But there was one paper which I was doing, which I was really enjoying. It was on data warehousing, and for some reason I managed to come top in the class on that. Or was coming top in the class on that. And then I got an email from one of my lecturers saying, "Hey, by the way, you missed the exam a week ago." And I thought, well, I'm absolutely wasting my time and wasting everyone else's time being at university, so I dropped out of university. Remember another time, we'd kept on going through Creative HQ, and the company was starting to go okay by this stage. And one of my partners decided, he wanted to take sort of 6 months off and go and travel Europe. And another one didn't decide, but it just happened that his girlfriend got pregnant. And, they had their child, and they actually, it was really, really bad timing. Is that my partner's daughter was born on the same day that my other partner left the country, so I was left like trying to run the entire company. And it was a real challenge because we had the most important client we'd ever received. We had to sort of do this great big job for them, and we had this new person starting as well the same day, so I was trying to train this new person, do the job of the other two people my two partners who had just left, and sort of keep everything afloat. And it was immensely difficult again, and again, we're just working such long hours, and you're getting absolutely nothing out of it. I then decided, after they sort of came back, that I need to get more skills. So somehow I managed to get into the MBA program at Victoria, and decided I'll do that so I can improve my management skills, because I was a appalling manager. I'm still pretty average now, I'd say, but I was an appalling manager back then, and I just needed to find some way of improving my skills. So anyway, in 2006, we graduated from Creative HQ, and with the product we developed, we'd got a reasonable amount of traction in the web development community in Wellington and sort of a bit up in Auckland as well. But then we had this bright idea that we could we could do better than what we had, and we looked at the existing product and we thought, well, give us 3 months, top developer will give us 3 months, and we'll be able to redevelop the entire system. And I thought, that sounds all right. So we started doing that. And in the end, it ended up taking us 7 months with three people full-time on it. So we spent a few $100,000 sort of actually doing that. And at the end of that, we decided instead of trying to sell the software we'd developed, we were going to give it away for free. And this is the most radical sort of move that we've ever made in the company. So our entire business previously had been based on like selling licenses to our software, and we decided instead of that we're going to sort of change the entire way the company worked, and give all our software away for free. And we put it on the internet, so I think it was around November 2006, and no one really sort of cared at all that we'd done that. Until, early 2007, Google came along, and they had a look at what we'd developed. And we got into this program which they run called the Summer of Code. And that, but basically what happens here is that there's a number of university students from all around the world who come in and help out with your project. So we got about 10 people from all over the world who came and helped out developing and writing code for our software, writing new modules for our software. And we got a huge amount of publicity as a result of that. But basically we went from being completely unknown to one of the most known sort of software packages on the web, probably in about a space of about 6 months or so. The company was also going quite well then as well. We were recognised as the fastest growing company in Asia. Oh no, sorry, the 113th fastest growing company in Asia Pacific. Better get that right. Which is pretty cool. So I think at the moment we're about the 12th fastest growing company in New Zealand. And one of the decisions I made back then as well is that I had put about sort of 7-8 years into the sort of heading the company up, and I needed to sort of change the direction that I was going on personally. So I stepped aside as the CEO and brought on a sort of CEO who had about 20 years of experience, mainly from sort of Silicon Valley, which was a big call, but it was a good move to make for us. And then this year we're at now. So on the back of, sort of the open sourcing that we've done and the, sort of the publicity we've got around the world, we've picked up some pretty big deals. So one of the ones which has been sort of in the papers quite a bit over the last couple of months is the US Democratic Party. So we picked up a pretty big job with them running the convention website. So just to take a step back, like the way the US political party works, or system works, is they've got the Democrats and Republicans, and each of those they have a number of candidates who could be potentially the president or represent them as the president, and they have this big convention where they decide who of all those candidates is going to be the president. So at the moment it's Obama or Clinton basically are the two sort of runners in the for the Democratic Party. But this is a really big deal. Like the conference itself, I think it's got about 30,000 people who physically attended. And the website that we've developed is going to have between sort of 3 to 5 million sort of unique people per day visiting it, which is absolutely colossal. So just to put that in the context, New Zealand's current largest website is Trademan. That receives around 700,000 to a million people per day. So it's an order of magnitude larger than what Trademans are doing at the moment in terms of the number of visitors that's going to be attending. So that was pretty significant. The other thing which is just really cool about this and a lot of the work that we're getting out of the States at the moment is that we've never even actually sort of met these people, this work we're doing. It's purely based on sort of the reputation that we've got in the technical community. And we have a number of video conferences sort of a couple of times a week with these people just over Skype. But it's all like directly out of our office in Wellington. We never actually even have to sort of physically go over to the States to do this. And I suppose the thing which is I find really interesting about this as well is that the site is so important to the American people, and they still managed to choose a New Zealand-based company, a non-US-based company, which is a huge deal. And they've just trusted us even without meeting us to do the job. And I think that's one of the opportunities as well, is that in New Zealand, the way I sort of saw it is that you have to physically be over there, you've got to sort of have all the relationships, you've got to have the face-to-face contact. And it's not necessarily true. You can pull off big deals basically by sort of sitting at home with a video camera. Just make sure you put a shirt on before you have the the meetings, but and you're fine. Another one we've picked up as well is with the Women's Conference. So this is a big deal. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's the governor of California, and his wife's Maria Schwartz, who's I think one of the part of the Kennedy family, so very, very influential family. And we sort of picked up a big job with the Women's Conference. And I was having this kind of conversation with these guys a month or two back when we were sort of pitching for the job. and it was over Skype again, and they couldn't actually hear me at all, so I could hear everything that they were saying. Then they asked me a question, and I sort of started to reply, and about sort of 30 seconds into it, they sort of interrupted me and said, "Tim, we can't hear you. Are you there? We can't hear a word you're saying." And I'm not sure if it was the accent or because of the calls were dropping, but regardless, we still pulled off the deal. And and yeah, it's a big deal, and it's yeah, huge for us. And so it's funny. So last year we had about 5% of all our business was offshore. At the moment, it's about 70% of all our business is coming from offshore. You know, we've got a number of sort of venture capital firms from throughout sort of the States and Europe who are sort of you know, yeah, talking to us at the moment. And there's other opportunities, but like, I just put Helen up there. Like, about 2 weeks ago, Silver Stripe was up for the Gold Awards, which is basically, you know, the Wellington Business Awards for companies which are doing, you know, good stuff. And you know, we had a sort of, you know, quarter of an hour chat with Helen Clark, who was there for the night, you know, just talking about, you know, what we're doing and what open source was. And she was like, "Well, that's fantastic. Make sure you do. So take a photo, stick it up on our blog, your blog." And that's one of the real cool things about New Zealand is that, you know, you can go and pick up a glass of wine, wander down the sort of conference hall, and have a, you know, chat to the Prime Minister of your country with so easily. You know, there's a lot of opportunities, and it's one of the just fantastic things about New Zealand, I think, that you've got access to, you know, the highest level people in the country, really, are very, very easy to get to. So that's where Silver Stripe's at the moment. For me personally, what I'm doing next, I'm going to go and have a big holiday. So I'm going to take off for a couple of months to Africa, which is going to be really cool. And one of the exciting things now with the company is that I've got it to the company to a position where I'm not important to the company. I'm sort of out of the day-to-day sort of running of the company, which is a good position to be in. So I can have my first real holiday for about 8 years, which will be good. So some questions or thoughts to put to you. You know, when you're considering, you know, what you want to be doing for your career, for your jobs, and life generally, you know, consider running your own business. When you're young, failing will not hurt you at all. You know, when you do get older, you get a whole lot of obligations, you get commitments, and you know, there are people who you will let down if you fail when you're older, and the risk is much bigger. When you're young, you know, really, I put my life savings into this company, but my life savings were only $8,000. And in the scheme of things, it doesn't matter at all if you lose a whole lot. The other thing is that, you know, the web doesn't discriminate. And what I mean by that is that it doesn't actually matter that you're young or that we're from, you know, the other side of the world. Nobody cares. And you actually can build superb, you know, web-based business. I think if I was to do it again, sort of with the knowledge I've got now, you'd be able to do it much, much faster. I know a number of people in this room are actually going to be able to build very viable, international, sort of world-class businesses, you know, out of your living room, basically. And the people who just don't have the professional experience can, you know, it can work to their advantage sometimes because they don't come with a whole lot of preconceived ideas as to the way things should work, or have to work at least. And they just go out and do it the way that they see as best. And sometimes you're going to make some horrible stuff-ups doing that, but you're also going to be able to you know, reach people and sort of change people's perceptions and thoughts. And it can, you can do some really awesome stuff. So, last thought I'll leave with you is, if you want to go on this wild adventure or steady career, you can combine them, you can have both. You can change the world, you can earn lots of money, and you can have one hell of an adventure while you're at it. Thank you.
Well, there's some excellent advice from Tim, and I completely agree with all of it. It's all about working hard, making heaps of connections, asking for advice, and not being afraid to stuff up. Hey, it's all down to experience. So, yeah, great. So have any of you got any quick questions for Tim? Any questions about starting your own business? Here's one over here.
Do you think going open, if you hadn't gone open source, you would have had the same success that you've got now?
We wouldn't have, no. Going open source was absolutely critical for our company. We would be completely oblivious, I think, in the scheme of things, if we hadn't done that.
done such a great job telling us all about it. Brilliant. Well, we've just got a couple more things. I'd like to, we're going to have a quick 30 seconds, a minute from Winton Clitheroe from Victoria University, but invite the tech crew up right now for a quick presentation. So just to say thank you very much to our first two speakers for their time today, all that wonderful knowledge that they shared with us. Brilliant.